You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. And Wayne, since we last spoke, there's been a whole raft of results from JSE-listed companies. Did any of them grab your attention? I mean, maybe Bidvested, because they seem to be very good, and I think the share price rallied 7%. But what was your impression of results season so far?
Well, for the purely South African-facing companies, the results were not too bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
They came out reasonably well, maybe even a lot better than what people anticipated. So that wasn't too bad. But obviously, if it's a mining company, the results are just totally and utterly shocking.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen it. But, I mean, that's part of the cycle. So, you know, shocking shouldn't be seen as unusual. They should be shocking because, you know, the prices of what they're selling have gone down significantly. So, yeah, it's not unusual. But, you know, as I said, the SA-facing companies actually aren't too bad. And that, I suppose, is quite a good thing.
I look at a share like a company rather like Murray & Roberts, and you probably have in the past, on behalf of your clients, invested in Murray & Roberts when it was something different to what it is now. But when you see their results come out today, you think of Murray & Roberts and you think, no, I'm not. It's not investable for your particular institution that you represent. Is that the case? You obviously look at it and see if there's any hints as to what the economy is doing in their outlook statement, all their results, and the share price rallies 7% plus. But it's too small for you, isn't it?
Yeah. No, look, I mean, it's actually interesting talking about companies like Murray & Roberts. Remember, we had Doorbell, we had Standard Engineering. When I started in the market, there were lots and lots and lots of companies
Yes. That
were, you know, household names. Even Barloworld, you know, in its day. Anglovaal Industries, when it was still the big mining house, Anglovaal Mining House. I mean, these were seriously large companies that certainly with... Well, lots of construction companies, Group 5, Murray & Roberts, all of these companies, you know, are a mere shadow of their former self. So certainly with Murray & Roberts, when they come up with results, you do have a quick squiz at it.
Yes.
But you don't really pay too much attention, to be honest.
No.
Because you're never going to buy it. And, you know, maybe I'm getting too jaded and too... been scarred too many times in my investment career, but there's certain groups of shares I will just never buy, and certain shares, Murray & Roberts, wouldn't touch it. And, you know, maybe that's wrong, but okay, it's a very small company. I'm just looking here. It's only a 500 million rand company, so we actually couldn't buy it,
no,
to be honest. But then the other ones, I'm never going to touch a chicken producer or a fishing company ever again in my life. They're just too volatile. You've got no chance on the face of this earth to even have hopefully a reasonably accurate idea of what's going to happen next year. And then maybe that's another bit of news that's come out in the last while, is that RCL Foods, which stands for Rainbow Chickens Limited,
is going to
unbundle Rainbow Chickens.
Oh, so it just becomes, I mean, it diversified years ago now. What was it, 7, 8 years ago? Maybe less, I don't know. It was Rainbow Chickens, then added some divisions through acquisition, I think it was.
Yes.
And now they're going so in Rainbow, the opposite direction again.
Rainbow Chickens was owned by Rembrandt.
Yeah.
And I think Rembrandt might still have a majority stake in it. In fact, I'm sure they do. And they also own a thing called TSB, Transvaal Sakebeperk. And they combined those all together into RCL. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong here. My memory can't quite go. But didn't they buy Food Corp as well?
Yes, they did. You're exactly right. That's what formed the basis of RCL.
And they've always had the Robertson Spices.
Mm. Okay. So, but you don't touch these things. I noticed Sea Harvest came out with their results.
Chicken business now because it's too volatile.
Because of the feed, mainly, not because of the demand, because South Africans love chickens. Let's face it, it's a very good source of cheap protein.
The problem with chicken, problem with chickens is that you get dumped with brine-filled chickens from all over the world because Americans don't eat. They only eat breast. They don't eat wings and thighs, wings and legs.
Yeah.
So, and then they pump it full of brine and then they export it at a massive loss. Yeah. And then when we try and raise tariffs on it, they complain that it's unfair and take us to the WTO. And then the next chicken flu, chicken disease, chicken salmonella, chicken virus hits you and half your crop dies. No, it's a terrible business. That.
And so is fishing. I noticed Sea Harvest came out with their results today, I think it was. I didn't even look at it because I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone that says, Lindsay, you must have a look at Sea Harvest. Yeah. Okay, so no chickens, no fish for you. And just before we get onto the food thing later on in this podcast, I have to say that my favourite is a particular butcher I go to who has free-range chickens from the farm next door. Deboned chicken thighs. I don't know where you stand on a piece of chicken that you like the most, but it's the thigh for me. I'm a thigh man.
No, look, I'm not particularly fussy about that. KFC used to sell things called zinger wings.
Oh, yeah.
That had a nice hot sauce on, and that was delicious. So there I ate chicken wings. And then I went out to lunch with an old colleague of mine yesterday, and we went to the fishmonger, but surprisingly enough, he recommended we eat their
wings,
chicken prego roll. Chicken prego roll.
Okay.
And that was, I'm telling you, it was absolutely delicious. Eh?
Okay.
The prego sauce, they put some nice, we're diverging.
Yeah, I'm diverging now. As soon as I mention food, you go off and you're unstoppable. So let's talk about other things as well. Thankfully, the Rand has recovered since we last spoke. It was in the 1930s last Wednesday. Today, it's in the 1880s, which is very good news. And generally, the impression I'm getting is that results are either very good or very bad, and there's very few that are in the middle. And I was speaking to Shapiro on Monday, and he came up with a theory that if you get a good set of results like Bidvest, for example, and I know you're very, very familiar with the company and who started it, but he said that when you get a good set of results, this was his theory, when you get a good set of results, the people that invest in South African stocks, purely South African stocks, latch onto them and put money in there because it's a shrinking investable universe. So the moves get exaggerated. Would you agree with that hypothesis?
Look, yes and no. I mean, yes, in that South African shares are cheap and everyone's underinvested in South African shares. So where you do get a good set of results, it goes up.
Yeah.
But no, you take NVIDIA, they came up with a good set of results. Everyone knows that company. That share price hasn't been languishing, and yet they come up with a good set of results. The share price goes through the roof. So in other words, good results are rewarded, whether you're a South African company or not.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting thing, though, because with some companies that are like a group investment needs to invest in South African stocks, and there are fewer and fewer that are really good and really big enough to make a difference to their performance, then they chase it. I don't know. Maybe it's true.
Yeah, look, I mean, just on that whole concept, if you take the average pension fund, so you're subject to Regulation 28, okay, so you're subject to how much you can, there's a limit as to how much physical assets you can have offshore. If you take the total portfolio and from our local market, you exclude all the mining companies because they're not South African companies. You exclude Richemont, Bidcorp, Naspers, Prosus, and you exclude Sasol. Because that's it's determined by something else. It's not determined by South Africa. It's determined by the international oil and chemical prices. So you ignore all, you take all of those out. I doubt if the average pension fund has got more than 12-15% in the balance being South African shares. I doubt it. Now, I mean, one of my jobs that I do is I do a ranking table every week. And what goes into this ranking table is all the shares we analyze. You know, all however many there are that we analyze.
How many? Give us an idea. Earnings. How many shares do you analyze?
Probably 80.
Hmm. 10 years ago, it was probably 150.
Yeah, where we do detailed analysis, we do probably look at and have an idea and comment on probably 130. But we only detailed analysis about 80, I would think. And so then we put it all to, we put it all earnings, PE ratios, dividends into the spreadsheet of mine. And then I give it a discount rate to try and compare one share in with another share in different sectors. And we essentially put it in a whole pot and stir it. Our share market shows enormous value. It truly does. I mean, the potential return, and of course, everything of this is into the future. Everything's potential. But the potential return, you know, if we get a resource cycle going up and if interest rates fall and if we don't have civil unrest in the election and if, you know, you can go on with ifs forever.
Yes.
But if all of these things work together over the next 2-3 years, our market should give you an extremely good return, not just a normal return, in fact, a good return.
So what sort of PE ratio would you assign to a share that you characterize as being good value? Is it 4 or 5, or at least it has to be single digit, surely?
Probably, yes. I mean, our all share index is distorted by a good couple of shares.
Yeah.
Richemont, Prosus, Naspers, etc., that are at very high PEs. But, of course, the mining companies have now also got extremely high PEs because the E part of the PE collapsed.
Yeah.
You know, so they were at 4 PEs on historic earnings. Now they're at 30 PEs on current earnings because the earnings have collapsed. But that's normal for us for a mining company. But the market shows true, extremely good long-term value. I mean, it's as good as what I've ever seen, which includes 2008 and 2015 and 2003 and 98 and 96 and 92. You know, it's as cheap as what it was then. And, you know, subsequent to those dates, you know, we got extraordinarily good returns from our market. Now, no matter what you think about the US market being cheap or expensive, it's certainly not at valuation levels that it's been at after the crash, you know, after it's fallen 40%. It's not there. Whereas our market now, even though it hasn't fallen 40%, is at more or less the same valuation levels as what we had during those previous dates that I've given you. So our market truly does show quite phenomenal value. But of course, there's many, many ifs, as I said.
Yes.
But there it is. It shows value.
But one of the things that some of your peers would say is there's a reason that it's this cheap. It's because South Africa is a dead economy, and it doesn't show signs of. You see the GDP numbers that we've just had. Terrible, Wayne.
Yeah, we've had terrible. You must remember we've had the worst year of load shedding ever.
Yeah.
Secondly, our government with the logistics and Eskom, well, I mentioned load shedding, but with the logistics and Transnet, is an absolute disaster. But most importantly of all, by far the biggest thing, is we are in a serious commodity down cycle. So you can't expect the economy to be shooting the lights out. But the point is that can change. And it can change just by the cycle, the commodity cycle. It can also change, we all know, and I know this is a longer term story, but we all know that effectively Transnet is being privatized. All the guys who use the railway lines are going to get a 20, 30, 50, 60-year concession to actually run the railway lines. So that's happening. Eskom, I mean, the private sector in South Africa in the last year built a Medupi, you know, and they're building quite a few more Medupis as we speak. I mean, the big projects haven't even come online yet. All that's come online is the solar on your rooftop. You know, so Eskom will be a thing of the past. So the point is things can change.
Yes.
And, you know, just to come back to your original statement, whenever something's cheap or expensive, there's a multitude of very convincing reasons as to why it's cheap or expensive. Because if there wasn't, it wouldn't be cheap or expensive.
Yeah, that's a very true statement. You know, so
don't try and look for bad news on South Africa. You're going to be swimming in it. Don't try and look for good news in NVIDIA and the Magnificent Seven. You're going to be swimming in good news. Doesn't mean it can't change into the future. And when you think early 2000s, no one wanted to touch the good example. Early 2000s, no one wanted to touch South Africa. The rand had tanked for 10 years solid. Our share market had tanked for 10 years in relation to the U.S. share market. The U.S. share market outperformed absolutely everything in sight for the previous 10 years. You know, what happened in the next 7 years? Our market outperformed the U.S. market by 350% in dollar terms. If you'd have bought shares in the U.S. share market in early 2000s, you had to wait 10 years to get your money back. You know, so I'm not saying that's going to happen to the same extent now, because that was the China years. You know, and maybe, I don't think it's going to happen now, but maybe the India years come at some stage into the future, and we start hearing about the commodity super cycle again. Because India's got as much potential to create a commodity super cycle as what China had. But I'm not saying it's going to happen. But the point is, it can happen just when you least expect it.
Yeah, the India story is an extraordinary story. I mean, if you'd been away for a year or so and you suddenly came back, you'd realize that India is the most populated country in the world suddenly. It's got a massively important election coming up, which takes days and days to occur because of the number of people and also the collation of the results. But it really does have the potential.
India is doing they're doing the right structural reforms and letting because India, the Indian government, whether it's the BHP or the Congress Party or whoever, are essentially nationalistic organizations, are very similar to the ANC. They want the state to do everything. Hmm. And let me hasten to add, for very altruistic reasons, for all the right reasons, they fundamentally don't really trust the private sector to do all of these things because the private sector just wants profits. And of course, that's right. Doesn't mean that the private sector won't do a lot of good things in trying to pursue those profits, but they've realized they can't do it. And our government's coming to the realization now as well, is that they can't do what they want to do because they're making a complete mess of it. So they're also now realizing we've got to change the way we do things. I mean, I don't know if it was Einstein or whoever said it, you know, the classic definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah. No, it was Einstein. In fact, now I read something that says it wasn't Einstein that actually said that, but he's been assigned that accolade by certain people. But it is a good thing. I mean, it's like me supporting the same football team for nearly 50 years now. And I every time I watch them on television or listen to them on the wireless, I still expect them to do something, but they don't, invariably. Unfortunately.
Which football team is this?
Okay, Wayne, you're taking me off at a tangent again, but I will tell you now.
No, I'm just interested. Elton John buy Ipswich?
No, he bought Watford. But it's got a strong South African. Oh. He's got a strong. It has a strong South African link. There was in the 1970s when I first started supporting them. They had a midfielder called Colin Viljoen, and then another one later on called Mish Davre, and both of whom were born and raised in South Africa. But anyway, I can't tell you about it
because isn't Ipswich sort of like right on the mouth of the Thames, sort of?
No way.
Going into the sea, like far on the eastern side?
It's on the east side, yeah. It's in East Anglia. In fact, if I had a light aircraft, I could fly to Ipswich in 40 minutes from where I am now. Yes, but it goes across the North Sea. But anyway, I won't tell you about their match last night because I'm still recovering from it.
Because I'm sure Shapiro bragged about his match the other night, the 6-0 or whatever.
Yeah, he's...
He bragged about that.
To be fair, Shapiro
can brag.
He can brag about it in a subtle way. He's not a braggart. He's not vainglorious. I say to him, well done with Arsenal. He says,
he only brags about his football team. He doesn't brag about himself or anything like that.
He's a
very, very reserved sort of guy. But he brags about his football team when they're winning.
Yeah. And he trashes them when they're losing as well. I've had some furious SMS messages.
When he chastises them, when they're losing, they're useless.
Gosh, you've no idea. But he's a good bloke. He's got 2 season tickets for Arsenal, the team that we're referring to. And when they're not used, he gives them away to a charity. So the people that wouldn't normally to go to a match, they can go because of him.
This is now many, many years ago. Shapiro went to go and see Arsenal play in one of the finals. And it was the first time they'd won a final for years.
It was the FA Cup final at Wembley.
When was that? 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
Yeah, at least 10 years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So he posts on his X. He posts on his X how he got the luxurious trip to the final at the stadium. Yeah. And it's him. I think he took his whole family. Him and everyone standing in front of this beautiful old Rolls Royce. You know? Meanwhile, it was just a Rolls Royce parked in the street that he stood in front of and took the photograph and said, this is our luxury FA Cup final trip.
He's very careful with money, which is why he's so successful. Wayne, okay, so the market's now, I've got Implats on my screen up about 4%. Are we close to the bottom of resources? And keep it as brief as you can, if you would, because even you are starting to sound a bit despondent.
That's the briefest I can say.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say 2 things. I hope so is the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one is I'm starting to doubt my view. Which means we're probably very close to the bottom.
Very close to the bottom. That's what I was going to say, because
very close.
You haven't been very ebullient, if that's a word, about the prospects.
When you start feeling despondent,
Yeah, exactly.
When you start feeling and you just say, what on earth am I doing sort of giving this view out, you know, and you just want to give up. So maybe we are near the bottom.
I think we are, and that's the best indicator I've heard for many, many weeks. Wayne, last week I told you that I'd gone back into the kitchen, and I've come to a conclusion now that it's all to do with quality, not quantity and everything. And I know you're a supermarket man, so you probably won't go to an individual butcher, you probably won't go to an individual fishmonger, but I like doing that. And the reason I say this is I went to a fishmonger yesterday who always told me, Lindsay, don't come in here on a Monday because the boats haven't been out on, and we're probably selling stuff that's been there since Friday or Saturday. I said, fine. So I went yesterday, Tuesday, and I said, I always ask these people, because they're very proud of what they do. I say, what is your favourite today? What is the freshest fish today? Yep. And he showed me whiting that came from the coast of Denmark, and a beautiful-looking fish, and only arrived within the last 12 hours since I was there. And also a very strange fish, which sounds vaguely suggestive, Wayne, called a slip tongue. Slip as in S-L-I-P, and tongue, T-O-N-G. It's a small, almost like a small Dover sole. And he said, we caught this yesterday in the North Sea off the East Anglian coast. They go close to the East Anglian coast in the UK. And I looked at these slip tongue and I thought, fantastic. So I bought 2 of them because they're small. And tonight I'm grilling them in butter with lemon. Very, very simple. And a leafy salad on the side. I'm getting back into fish. I'm sort of going to have a fish affair rather than a meat affair, which I have been more or less since Christmas. Do you eat a lot of fish?
No, not an enormous amount of fish. I'm not as though I'm against fish at all, but I eat a lot of shellfish, obviously, but that's not quite the same.
No.
The world's biggest rugby fan is extremely allergic to fish and shellfish, extremely life-threateningly allergic.
Oh, well, then you can't.
So in other words, we don't chow much fish at all.
Oh. Is that a normal thing? I mean, an allergy toward the critters from the sea? I mean, what would happen if I gave her a plate of slip tongue, for example?
She would go into shock and have to be rushed off to hospital.
Gosh, that's quite a thing. Huh. Okay, well, meat it is then. Have you had any good meals since we last spoke?
Yes, I actually went to Swakopmund over the weekend to go and see an old friend of mine who was out there for a month from the UK.
Yeah.
Chap that I worked with for many years. And I must say, Swakopmund is a magnificent place. There are so many positive attributes. It is fantastic.
Is it still German? Has it still got German influence?
There's a little bit of German. Yeah, that's not hugely so, but there is a little bit of German. You go into a shop every now and again, and it's got signs up in German. But no, it's not overwhelming at all. But it's quiet. I mean, their rush hour, there's four cars on the road. there's no population density at all. I mean, apparently, this is the second lowest number of people per square kilometer after Mongolia in the world. So there's no crowd of people. It's quiet. It's super clean. Everything from what I could ascertain, there seems to work. There's no potholes. The robots seem to work. It's really nice. But the food is truly fantastic. So,
okay.
So obviously the world's greatest didn't partake in this,
no.
But we went for a cruise along Walvis Bay in a big catamaran. And we went out and we saw the little baby dolphins and we saw the seals and the pelicans come and land on your boat. You don't know how big a pelican is until it's right next to you. And the seals jump on your boat and you've got to chase them off. So it was a grand old outing. And then it's sort of about 9 o'clock in the morning, half past eight in the morning start. And at about half past 11, they bring out snacks.
Yes.
And the snacks they brought out were walfish, well, many different kinds of snacks. So there was something for everyone, but they brought out some absolutely that morning fresh Walvis Bay oysters.
Oh, don't.
And I had some oysters with a bit of lemon and a bit of Tabasco. Two kinds of oysters, the normal ones and smoked ones. In fact, they had three kinds. They had normal, smoked, and then they had one that was already out of the shell, done in like a panko pastry. What's it? A crispy? It's panko. When it's like panko prawns. It's like tempura prawns. That's sort of like
coating. That's what I was going to say.
Like a crispy, like a crispy coating on it.
Oh.
And they were totally delicious.
Oh, God. Oh, now you've got me.
They were delicious.
There's a restaurant.
They were literally out of the bay that morning, loaded onto the boat, and then it was delicious. It was really tasty. So, and it was a wonderful experience. I mean, it was about a 3.5, no longer. About a 4 hour, maybe even a bit longer, 4.5 hour, very leisurely cruise around the bay. You went right out into the Atlantic and came back in again. And it was R1,200 a person with snacks. I mean, that's
not bad.
Seriously good value. No, yeah. It's seriously. You think for a foreigner coming out with dollars or pounds or euro, I mean, it's absolutely nothing. So the place was packed. You know, they've got the world's cutest little waterfront there at Walvis Bay.
Yes.
And the place was packed. There must have been 20, 30 boats leaving with packed full of people. No, it was a lovely experience.
Well, I've never been to Namibia, and I have to say that if I do go back to South Africa, then I'll get a plane and go and see it. Every time I see a wildlife program or something, it looks incredible.
No, it's incredible. You can't believe it. This friend of mine comes out quite often. I've been to Namibia a few times to see him there. He comes out in the middle of the English winter. His wife is from Swakop, so there's a bit of a tie up there. But he comes out and spends a month in Swakop, in Swakopmund.
Brilliant.
And he says it's for nothing. You rent. It's a little bit out of season now. So you rent a place extremely cheaply, and he can work anywhere online. He's got his own little business, and he works online. He's an asset management guy.
Mm.
And he comes out quite often to Swakopmund, and it's just too wonderful. You escape the Great British Winter, and you come there, you eat good food that costs you nothing. You stay, and because if you're earning pounds, it's genuinely for nothing. Mm. No, it is I think it's an undiscovered gem that not many South Africans know about.
Okay.
It really is nice.
You've got me thinking now, Wayne. And when the winter starts again at the end of this year, I'm going to do it, and I will keep you in touch. But Wayne, thank you so much for your time. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.